All right, everyone. Well, good morning again. Good to see you here on a beginning of summer. Good day for it. It's going to get to 90 degrees, I guess. It's going to feel like summer out there. So we'll take that. We here at Cedar Creek, we do this every summer. From Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, we will do kind of one long series, or we'll find a theme and we'll stick with it for the whole summer. We've been doing this for several years now. Actually, kind of an interesting note, the last time Dave and Sandy left, years ago they went to Germany to help a church there. They were gone for 3 years. The first summer they were gone, we decided to do this. So don't know what we're going to do this summer. We'll think of something new to do while Dave is gone. But this summer we're going to do what we've always done, take a series and run it through the whole summer. What we're going to do this summer is go through the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a book in the Old Testament, and what it is it's kind of a series of vignettes, if you will. They'll take a certain character who was used by God in the nation of Israel and talk about some of the things that this judge, this person, man or woman, did. And so we're going to spend our summer kind of walking through this book, seeing all of these different vignettes, all these different stories that God lays out for us about people and how they interacted, how they responded to God, how they kind of lived in the world around them in the nation of Israel back then. Now, the reason we're going to do this is not just to read these stories. It's not just a history lesson where, okay, we're going to go back in time and read about something that happened a long time ago. The reason we do this is because God uses these stories to teach you and I how to live now. We look at what happened with these people back then, in the world that they lived in, how they responded to what was happening, how they responded to God, and God uses that to teach you and I how we can live now, in this world, right now, how we can respond to what's happening around us, how we can react to God, because there's nothing new in the world. God says this, there's nothing new under the sun. The people then are the same as the people now. The world then, technology was different, things were different, geography and all that stuff, but for the most part, all of us are the same, and God speaks to you and I. And the whole point of this series, guys, the reason we're going to go through the book of Judges is to help you and I learn how we can live now, how we can respond to the world around us, just like they responded to the world around them. How we can hear God speak to us, just like they heard God speak to them. How we can make decisions to do the right thing now, just like they made those decisions back then. That's the point in this. God can speak to you. And the prayer, my hope, is that each one of us, as this summer goes on, God will help you and I to know how we can live now. Because God is not a God of the past. He was there. God is not just a God of the future. He's there. But God is also the God right now. He walks through your life with you right now. He speaks to you right now. That is such an amazing privilege. We don't have a God that spoke to some people a long, long time ago, and now we have to just kind of live on their understanding. We don't have a God who just waits for us somewhere down the line. He's done both of those things. But we also have a God who says, I'm your father, I'm your friend, I'm your lover, and I'm going to be with you right now. I'm going to be with you right now. That's amazing, that God wants to be with you and I right now. And that's the whole point of this. We're going to let God speak to you and I right now. So that's the goal as we go through this. And we called this this series, Character in the Midst of Chaos, because we're going to see as we walk through this, I'm going to kind of set the tone today for what's going to happen here for the summer, but we're going to see how men and women responded to God in a world that wasn't responding so well to God. We're going to see how men and women chose to listen to God, chose to follow God, chose to obey God, or not. Some of these people that we're going to look at didn't do so well. Some of them did really well, some of them did really not so well, some of them did somewhere in the middle. We're going to look at this and learn how we can be men and women of character, how you and I can be men and women who listen to God, who respond to God in a crazy world as the world around us really kind of is spinning in some strange, strange ways. That's what we're going to do here for the summer, okay? So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the stage a little bit. I'm going to give us kind of a backdrop for how we're getting into this. Because the book of Judges covers many, many years, and we come into it, it's kind of a history of the nation of Israel and the people in it. We come into it in a certain frame of mind or in a certain way, and then we're going to walk through it. So I'm going to kind of set the stage. Where are we at here? How about we starting this? And what can we kind of expect as we go through the book of Judges? And then today I'm going to give us a brief little, very, very short picture of what the rest of this series might look like, okay? So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to set the stage. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read some passages here, and we'll talk about it a little bit. And we're in the book of Judges, again, in chapter 2. And I'm going to read some verses right here in the beginning of chapter 2 because it helps us to understand kind of what's happening here. It says this, then Joshua, son of Nun, Joshua and Judges are right next to each other. We're going to have to redo everything. Guys, we're doing Joshua for this summer. Hang on. Judges, chapter 2. They both begin with J, and they're right next to each other, and I was all confused. Here we go. The angel of the Lord, this is right, went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called that place Bochim. Bochim means weeping. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. All right. This gives us a little bit of a picture of kind of how we're moving into this book. Now, let me give you some backdrop to this. This is at a time in Israel's history, if you remember your Sunday school lessons, if you've read through the Old Testament, you know that this is a time where many years before, probably 80 years or sometime before this, Israel had been in Egypt. They'd been slaves in Egypt. The entire nation, many years before, hundreds of years before, they had gone down to Egypt. The very small nation of Israel had gone to Egypt. They'd become enslaved there. They'd spent hundreds of years as slaves in Egypt. Then along came Moses and the whole story of Moses, and God delivered the nation of Israel. He went down there, he sent Moses, did all of the miracles, took the whole nation of Israel. At this time, when they went down there, they were about 80 people. Now there's hundreds of thousands, and God is taking them out of slavery, out of captivity. He kind of broke the power of the nation of Egypt that was keeping Israel under its thumb, took them out of captivity. Led them for 40 years in the desert, where they were kind of wandering around in the desert. God provided for them. He fed them every day in the desert, sent down food from heaven every day, quail and manna. He provided water. Water just came out of the rocks and gave them water. He protected them in the desert. When different nations would come and try to attack them, God would protect them. An entire generation had remembered how God had taken them out of Egypt, delivered them from slavery, provided for them, cared for them, led them in the desert for 40 years. Then he had taken them into this land that he had promised he was going to give them. He had promised many years ago, this land, the current day nation of Israel, he had said to Abraham, who was the first Israelite, this is the land I'm going to give you. God had made a promise to him long, long, long ago. This is going to be your land. And someday your descendants will own this land and will be a nation here. God now had brought them out of the desert, out of the wilderness, into this land. And he had spent the last several years helping the nation of Israel drive out the nations that were there. They had been going through wars. And so as we pick up the story here, we're at the tail end of that progression, where they'd left Egypt, they'd spent many years wandering in the desert, seeing God provide. They had now, for the past several years, we don't know how many, 5, 10, 15, 20, some number of years, they had been fighting wars, driving out the nations that were in Israel. They're getting toward the end of that, okay? That's where we're at. That's kind of the backdrop of what's happening here. But we see something beginning to happen. This is a nation that, as they think back on their history, you know, history is an interesting thing. If you study American history, you can go back to the Revolutionary War and you can understand, you know, the people at that time had a very passionate desire for freedom, and it drove them to do some very remarkable things. And then we kind of move through the Civil War and that the wrestling over how we were going to govern ourselves? Would we allow slavery? And then we come up kind of through the 20th century and we come through the Depression and the World Wars. You can see different things happening, and each generation in our country has different mindsets. My dad grew up in the Depression. So he grew up, he was born in 1932, kind of right at the beginning of the Depression. So much of his life was lived in that context. He kind of lived through World War II. He had six brothers. All of them went overseas to serve in the war. So that experience, his growing up, shaped him in some ways. Now, I was born in 1963, very different thing. I grew up in the 70s and in the 80s, and so that shaped me. We see that here with the nation of Israel. There had been a whole generation who had watched God do miracles in Egypt. They had been slaves. They could remember being slaves. And God came in and he brought the frogs and the hail and he did these amazing things, and they were powerless and God was so strong for them. That generation then walked with God through the desert. They watched God send a cloud of fire to guide them. They'd watch God provide for them every single day. This generation hadn't seen any of that. They were kind of in a new place. It's kind of like me. I did not grow up in the Depression. I did not grow up through World War II. That's just a story for me, and so it's harder for me to understand it. These people, the ones that we're going to talk about now, had heard about the things God had done in the past. They hadn't seen them. That shaped them a little bit, and we begin to see some patterns because of that. We begin to see some things happen, and we see it here. God is telling them, hey, you know what? I'm your God. I want to lead you. I want you to obey me. But he says, yet you have disobeyed me. You didn't do what I asked you to do. We see that this generation was disobeying God. Now, that's not an extraordinary thing. Their fathers, the generations before, had had times when they had disobeyed God. They hadn't done what they were supposed to do. So that's not remarkable. When they disobeyed here, the nation didn't do what God wanted them to do. He said, I want you to drive these other people that are in the land out completely. I don't want you to tolerate them, because if you leave them there, they will teach you to worship other gods, and they will pull your heart away from me, says God. And I don't want that. I want you to be mine, and so I want you to drive them out. They hadn't done that. I don't know if they got tired or what. They'd been, you know, warring for a long time. And they'd driven out most of these other nations, but they kind of got tired, I think, and they just kind of stopped and said, you know what, this is good enough. We mostly did what God wanted us to do, and there's still some more of these people around here, but let's just take a break. And how bad can it really be if they stay there? And God said, it is bad because you're disobeying me. And he called them on it. When they disobeyed, God called them on it. So we're seeing a pattern here. The people of Israel disobeyed God. They didn't do what God asked them to do. God came and said, you're disobeying. He corrected them. He said, look, remember, I'm your God. I have a covenant with you. I have a promise with you that I'll love you, I'll care for you, but I want you to obey me. And he's reminding them that they didn't do that. You haven't obeyed me. And then he disciplines them. When they disobeyed, he brings a discipline. You know what? You didn't do this, so there's going to be a discipline. That these people that you didn't drive out are going to be a thorn to you. It's going to impact you in a way that, you know, isn't good. To teach you, to help you remember the whole point of discipline. God says he disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. To teach them. So they disobeyed. God interceded, he corrected them, and he disciplined them. And then we see the people responded to it. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things, the people wept aloud. They called that place Bochim, and there they offered sacrifices to the Lord. So they repented. They changed their mind. They disobeyed. God interceded. He corrected and disciplined. The people said, God, you're right. They repented. Now, that is not an unusual scenario. If you are a parent, that happens regularly in your home, right? Your children disobey, you correct, you discipline, they come around, they learn from it, everybody moves forward. This is not an unusual or even a harmful situation. In fact, the one of the things that's so good about God is when we disobey, when we do wrong, God says, hey, I will correct, I will discipline, but then if you respond to me, come back to me, we can be better off, we can move forward, you've learned, we're drawn closer together. So this circle that we see happen here isn't a bad thing. It isn't an unusual thing. It can be a very, very, very good thing. And so we see it happen here. Here's the problem. And this is what shapes the whole book of Judges, okay? This is what shapes this whole book, is that this pattern happened, but then it happened again, and it happened again, and it happened again, and it happened again, and this pattern kept repeating over and over and over and over again, and that shapes something. It begins to have an impact on the nation in ways that change people's lives. And we see that here in the next few verses. As this pattern repeats itself, it changes it a little bit. And we're going to look at some verses here now that in chapter 2 that show how this pattern is repeating itself. Just a little bit later in chapter 2, in verse 11, it says this. Well, I'll start in verse 10. It says, after the whole generation that had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. The nation of Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. Okay? They had done this before. They had disobeyed before. God had corrected them. They'd repented. But now look what's happening. They're disobeying again in the same area. In the same area, there are these foreign gods. There are these other thoughts out there. They had tolerated it before. What are they doing now? This is important, guys. Track with me here a little bit. In that first example, God had said you didn't drive them out. You tolerated them. In other words, you recognize, yeah, you know, there are these other gods, but I'm going to, you know, we'll just let them be and will be. God said, no, that's disobeying. What are they doing now that's different? They're serving them. Not only are they tolerating these other gods, now they're serving them. What does that mean? Disobedience has escalated. They disobeyed. God corrected, disciplined. They responded, but they didn't respond completely. And now they're disobeying in the same area again, but the second disobedience is worse than the first. And so as this pattern begins to cycle back, one of the things that happens is the disobedience is worse. The disobedience is escalated. Because of that, the discipline is harder. In verse 14, in his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, and he went no longer, who they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. What was the discipline the first time? Do you remember? They disobeyed by tolerating the other gods. What was the discipline? God corrected him, said, this is not good. What was the discipline? Do you remember? Yeah, these people are going to be thorns and snares to you. Now that's a discipline. Now what's the discipline? They're going to rule you. You are in great distress. It went from this is, well, you know, a little bit painful to a lot painful. They have now been taken over. They're being plundered. The discipline is getting more. The disobedience escalated. Therefore, the discipline is harder. It's harsher. Because they did not respond the first time. In fact, when they came back, they sinned even worse the second time. Now the discipline is harder. But what did God say the first time? I have a covenant with you. You're my people. I am not going to abandon you. He does not abandon them now. God delivers them. And in verse 16, it says, then the Lord had raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of their raiders. The Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of their raiders. Remember, God's desire here is not to just beat them up. You disobeyed me. His desire is what? Reconciliation. Restoration. Come, God says, I love you guys. I long to see you do well. You're not doing well right now because you're disobeying me. I'm bringing discipline to draw you back to me. But the point of the discipline is not just to beat you up. It's to help you to learn. And so God, even as he disciplines, God disciplines those he loves. He loves these folks. He wants the best for them, but he's bringing some difficult times into their life to teach them lessons that they have to learn. And so he raises up judges to save them. God corrects, he disciplines, then he saves. This same pattern is happening. We saw that before. The people respond to it. He saves them out of their... And in fact, it says oftentimes we'll see this as this pattern goes on. They'll disobey. God will bring a discipline, and it will say the people will cry out to the Lord. They'll recognize, God, you're right, we're wrong. But as this pattern repeats and repeats and repeats, it gets worse in the sense that the disobedience escalates. The discipline is harder. When God delivers, then the repentance is shallower. In verse 19, but when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. As this pattern cycles back and back and back, the repentance is shallower and shallower. Does that make sense? Do you guys see what's happening here? God has a promise to them. He says, I love you. I want you to be close to me. I want to teach you. I want to lead you. The people fail. They're going to fail. You and I are going to fail. That's, God understands that. When they fail, when they disobey, God disciplines them. He corrects them, says, hey guys, this is not good. And so that you don't do it again, I will bring a discipline. They respond to that discipline, but they don't respond all the way. They don't completely close the loop. And so what happens is they start here. Here's the circle, and God's desire is, okay, we have a close relationship. You've disobeyed me. Okay, I will bring discipline to bring you back to me, and then you will come back to me, and we'll be right up at the top, even stronger than before, and move out of this. That's God's desire. This circle closes, and we move on. What's happening here to the nation of Israel, they have a relationship with God. They disobey. God brings discipline. He corrects them. And as they come back, they don't get all the way to the top. They start here, and they kind of go here. They don't completely repent. And so their disobedience the next time swings a little bit farther down. The discipline is harsher. They respond a little bit more shallow this time. And we see this circle escalating down and down and down and down and down. That's the pattern that we're going to follow through the book of Judges all summer long. Where it starts here is disobedience. God intervenes. There's repentance, but then the disobedience is worse because they never really respond to God. And they cycle downward, 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 downward. It is in this atmosphere that we are going to look at men and women and see how do they respond. How do they respond to that? How do they respond to God in a world that is cycling farther and farther and farther away from God? Now, there are lots of lessons to that. There are lots of applications to that. It's certainly true of our culture, I think. The culture that we live in, I would say, is in a similar kind of pattern where it's escalating farther down. It's true of us at times. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, and this is really not the point of this message, but we need to understand that God deals with nations, but he deals with individuals. God is more concerned about you than he is about the United States. God's more concerned with a person than he is about the world. And so as you respond to God, you and I are in this pattern with God as well, where God says, I love you. I want to provide for you and care for you. We fail. There are times we disobey God. God will correct and discipline us. And we can respond to God, and we need to respond all the way. When God disciplines us about an area, it's good for us to recognize, God, I want to close this loop with you. I don't want to respond halfway, because if you do, you're going to keep cycling down in this. And so one very practical application to this, and this, again, this is not the point of this message, but guys, one practical application to this is this. If there is something that you know you're doing that God doesn't want you to do, if your conscience is stirring you and you see yourself in this cycle where, you know, you'll do something and God will discipline you and you'll respond, but then it'll get a little bit worse and you'll respond and it'll get a little bit worse, I would really strongly encourage you to go to someone and say, I need help. I'm caught in this cycle that I can't seem to get out of. And it will spiral down and down and down and down. And we see that with the nation of Israel. And that happens to us individually. I would encourage you, you know, we need help to come out of these things. I do. I go to Dave. I go to Mike. I go to the men who know me well. I just told Zach and Jeff the other day that if they see me doing this, they can, and I used, well, I won't say what I said, but said you can kick me very hard if you see me doing this, because I need that. I need that. We need help to not get caught in this. What happens to these guys? And by the way, when we look at the book of Judges and see this cycle happening and spinning down and down and down and down, one of the things that can happen is that we can become self-righteous and indignant. How can they do that? What is wrong with those people? Why don't they respond to God? And they keep doing the same thing over and over again, and worse and worse and worse. One of the lessons I learned from this is I'm no different than they are. And I am just as capable of that as anybody I know. I am just as capable of spinning farther and farther and farther away from God. And I need help to come out of that. I need help to close the loop. Here's the great thing. We do not have to do that. We don't have to live in that cycle. God disciplines and draws us with his love to bring us back full circle so that we're stronger with him, okay? So one of the practical applications of this is take a good look at your life. And if you see that happening, go to someone. I would just strongly encourage you. God did not ask you to do this on your own. Go to someone and say, hey, I think I might need some help in this. Can you pray for me? Can you talk to me? Can you help me in this? We're designed to need help from each other to respond to God. But we see this happening in the nation of Israel. Their culture is spinning down farther and farther away from obedience to God. We're going to watch this progress throughout the summer to the point at the end of the summer where it's almost disgusting. It is disgusting what's happening in the nation of Israel. When we get to the end of the book of Judges, they have spun so far down, it's almost, you hate to even think about the things that are happening. But here's the point, guys. The point to this is to learn, how do I respond in that kind of a situation? How do I respond when the world around me is not responding well to God? God, in his love for you, gives you and I a chance to do well when the world is doing poorly. There are men and women that we're going to see who have the opportunity to do well while the world is doing poorly. That's the goal in this. How can I be a man of character in a world of chaos? How can you be a woman who is close to God, responding to God wholeheartedly when the world around you isn't? That's where we're going this summer, okay? That's the whole point of this. Now, in the next just 2 minutes, 3 minutes, okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I want to give you a very, very, very small picture of what that's going to look like as we go forward here. We're going to look at different men and women who responded. I'm going to look at the very first one. His name is Othniel. And I'm going to look not at, we don't know a whole lot about him, but we get enough of a picture to see some big themes in his life that I think will hold true. Again, the point of this is, how do I respond with character in the midst of a world that is chaotic? How do I respond to God when the world around me isn't? This guy, Othniel, was the very first judge. And we see some big themes, I think, that will hold true for all of these stories, all right? So I'm just going to read to you 4 verses in chapter 3 of Judges. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Same thing. We're seeing the pattern. They did evil. They responded poorly. They're serving other gods. Now they're going out and finding gods from the nation around them to serve this god. Asherah would ask the people who worship that god would sacrifice their children. They would burn them up. They would throw their kids into a furnace as a sacrifice to this god. So their apostasy, their evil is getting worse and worse and worse. We're seeing this pattern happen. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of, I can't pronounce this, the king of Aram, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. The discipline is getting harsher. 8 years serving this king. But when they cried out to the Lord, they're responding, and God loves them. He raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. Okay, so we see the pattern happening again. They disobey in a terrible way. God brings very strict, harsh discipline. They cry out to God. He delivers them. Now, what does he do? How does this Othniel, what do we learn about this? Here's a guy who God used to be a man of character in the midst of chaos. What do we learn about him? Well, what does it say here? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave this king of Aram into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. I would make a few suggestions to you that we learn from Othniel. Big picture things that we will flesh out as the summer goes on, as we look at these different characters. But if you are going to respond well in the midst of chaos, if you are going to be a man or a woman of character in a world that isn't, If you're going to be a man or a woman that is close to God when the world is tracking farther and farther away from God, I can see four things here that are true of Othniel. One of them is that he chose to be close to God. He wanted to have a relationship with God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You know, the Spirit of the Lord, what that means is it's God's presence. God himself. God came and was close to him. Othniel had a close relationship with God. This man had a close relationship with God. He talked to God. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man back in the Old Testament, and this happens with us now too, God's Spirit comes and lives in us, and it speaks to us. God speaks to us. He leads us. He guides us. He protects us. Othniel had this. He had a relationship with God. You want to be a man or a woman of character. In the midst of chaos, you have to spend time with God. Othniel spent time with God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was listening to and responding to God. You and I do that in two very, very practical ways. You want to be a man or woman of character. Every day, you let God speak to you through this book. This is the beginning of God speaking to you. God speaks to us in all kinds of ways, but it starts here. If you are not reading the Bible, you are not hearing from God. I'm going to say that again. If you are not reading the Bible, you are not hearing clearly from God. Not clearly. Not what he wants to tell you. Not the full depth of it. Not the wisdom, not the love, not the power. This is the beginning. You want to be a man or woman of character? I will chew. You eat every day. I guarantee it. Most of us eat every day. This is your spiritual food. And then you talk to God. You talk to God about what you read. You talk to God about what you hear. It's that simple. You respond to God because he's close to you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. He had a relationship that it was working. It was active. You want to be a man or woman of character? That's the first thing. I will be talking to God. I will be listening to God. Some days it's more intense than others. Some days it's more emotional than others. But every day I'm going there. Every day, God and I are going to communicate. That's the first thing. Second thing is Othniel was willing to stand out. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. He said, I'll do what's right. He stood up in the midst of oppression, this king who was serving other gods. He said, I will do the right thing, even though the rest of the nation of Israel won't. I will choose to be different. I'm not afraid to stand out. You want to be a man or woman of character in a world full of chaos, you have to be willing to be different. I will stand up. I will be seen. I will be noticed. I will not be like everyone else. I will not be afraid of opposition. And if that means I have to go to war, that's what it means. There is some courage required here. Not courage like crazy, I'm not afraid of anything. It's, you know what, I'm willing. It's more a willingness than a lack of fear. I'm sure Othniel was afraid at times, but he was willing. Are you willing to stand up? Are you willing to be different in the eyes of the people around you? I'm sure there were some Israelites who said, just leave it alone, buddy. Leave it alone. I don't want to go to war. You know what? This ain't so bad. I don't want to get killed. Back down. He was willing to stand up. You want to be a man or woman of character, you have to be willing to stand up. Third thing is he served. His goal was what? The land had peace for 40 years. What happened because he did this is the good of all. He did not do this for himself. He did not go and say, I want to be king. You know what? I'm going to drive this king out, and then I'm just going to take his place, and I'm going to oppress the land. I'm going to be the one who gets all the money. His goal, his motivation was the good of all. He was a servant. You want to be a man or woman of character in the midst of chaos? You will be a servant. And you will work hard for the benefit of the people around you, not your own. You will work for God's kingdom, not your own kingdom. He was not in this to become king, to become powerful, just to replace one oppressor so that he could be the oppressor. He served others. And the fourth thing is, he didn't give up until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. He didn't give up. This wasn't, okay, I'm going to be a man of character for 3 months, and then I'm going to slide back into the way I was. No, for the rest of my life, this is who I'm going to be. This defines me for the rest of my life. I will be close to God. I will be willing to stand up. I will serve others for the rest of my life. That's what it looks like in very big picture terms, to be a man of God, a woman of God, in the midst of chaos. We live in a society very similar to what we're going to look at. How are you going to respond? We're going to look at these pictures for the rest of the summer. And my prayer is that you and I will look at this and say, God, how do I respond? Will I be that man of character? Father, I just thank you that we can be that. God, our life is not defined by the choices of those around us. By your grace and power, you've given us the ability to have our life be defined by our choices. I want to choose you. I want to choose to be with you. I want to choose to be close to you. I pray that for all of us, God, that we would choose to be men and women of character. It's hard, and it's fearful at times, and it's confusing, but by your grace, God, help us to do it. Help us to learn. Help us to see you in our culture now. Help us to feel you and to choose to cling to you, God, and to follow you. Regardless of what's happening in the world, we will follow you. Thank you that that is available to us. You've given us that. Help us to take it. In Jesus' name, amen.